We're in Malachi. We're finishing up the Old Testament, finishing through the Bible for now. We'll probably pick up on it at some point later for the New Testament, but we're going to be done at least for the summer, maybe longer. So tonight's the last night of that. Next Sunday, this coming Sunday, we're church in the park, so we won't be here. The Sunday after that, we'll do like a kind of a recap of the Old Testament. There will be tons of candy bar bonus questions. We'll probably have some kind of breakfast of some kind that day. That's our last day before the sixth graders promote. So we'll kind of have like a little celebration on that Sunday morning. And I think they actually come up on Wednesday night, the next Wednesday. So yeah, not a week from tonight, but 2 weeks from tonight. So next Wednesday night, we'll probably just have like a game night. And then we'll roll into the Seen and Heard series once they get in here on the 15th. So again, if you haven't completed your survey, I haven't checked since Sunday, but last I knew, I think I had 8 or 9 responses. So if you haven't done the surveys yet, please do that. It's anonymous. I don't know who has filled it out and who hasn't. So if you haven't done it yet, fill it out.
Doesn't it say by the email that you filled it out?
No, I don't. The responses are not saved at all. I don't think you put your email address in there. All right, yeah, I guess when you click on it, it has an email address that submits it. But I cannot see the responses of what email addresses were selected. So I think it just has you do that for Google's sake, but it's anonymous. Because I have looked at a few of them when a few of them came in, and so I couldn't see anybody's info on them. So anyways, so fill those out so we can get ready for that series that'll start on the 15th. So Malachi. I'll open up to Malachi 3. I want to look at the last few verses of the chapter, and then we're going to jump over to Psalms after that. So Malachi chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 13. Elias, read Malachi 3:13. Go. For those on the recording, Elias doesn't have a Bible in his hand, so.
I take a few minutes.
Malachi 13.
Malachi 3:13.
I know you did.
You what?
I was thinking about that.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, not Micah. Keep going a little bit further. You're almost there. All right, you read 13, and then Nick's going to read 14, and then Elena's going to read 15.
What?
Isabel's going to read 16. Hallie's going to read 17. Phil's going to read 18. Brenda's going to read 19. No, we're stopping at 18.
This is Brenda. I was like, Brenda's not here.
Yeah, we're stopping. That's why we're stopping at 18.
Oh,
it's the alarm system. We got a service call in. They're coming out tomorrow morning, so it'll all be taken care of. 13 for Elias. Go.
Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against this?
Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts?
Shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not?
Okay, so the verses leading up to this, like starting in verse 7, if you guys remember from Sunday, there was, we talked about the robbers, and there was like that picture of the guy with the bag over his shoulder. So the verses leading up to that, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, it's talking about how the Israelites were robbing God, and he was talking about specifically about financial robbery. They were not giving their tithes and their offerings. And then you get down into like 13 to 18, and the way that Jim had it on our notes from Sunday, he had that section labeled Remain Faithful, and then underneath that he had 2 points, and it said, God's people are reminded that God sees all, the faithful and the wicked. The faithful will be rewarded, and the wicked will be punished. And so, if we look at this passage, we see like in verse 13, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. yet ye say, how have we spoken so much against thee? And that phrase we looked at, I think it was like 11 times or 14 times that it was in the book of Malachi, yet ye say. And so God's contrasting, like, this is the way that you're acting, but yet your words are saying, how are we acting that way? You know, like, and there's like 11 or 14 different times that phrase shows up. And so the Israelites are like, they're actively not serving the Lord. They're not doing the things that they're supposed to. But yet, in their own eyes, they're saying, well, how have we done something wrong? Like, what we're doing is right. And they have this mindset that what they're doing is right, even though God's telling them time and time and time again, what you're doing is not right. What you're doing is against me. So like in verse 14, it says, ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. And then in verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. So then it starts contrasting, and it's saying that there are some that are fearing the Lord, and there are some that are you know, trying to do the right thing. And it says that the Lord hearkens to that. And so despite all of this back and forth of they think that they're doing okay, but then their actions are not that way, but their words think that they're doing the right things, and they think that they're being faithful, but God's revealing to them over and over, here's all the different ways that you're being unfaithful to me. You're robbing from me in the middle section of that chapter, and you're not doing the things that you think you're doing. And Jim used this cross-reference of Psalm chapter 73, and I want to look at that because it kind of talks about the same thing. So flip over to Psalm chapter 73. the whole thing. And so the reason I want to look at this, I think this is, I mean, obviously we want to always try to look at things that we can apply to our own lives. And so sometimes maybe we've been on the receiving end of this where somebody calls us out for something and we do this, like we throw our hands up like, well, I didn't do what you said that I did. How, it wasn't me, I didn't do that. And we have this, even though our actions are against, you know, they're disobedient or they're against what we're supposed to be doing, we still have this mindset that somehow we're doing the right thing, and we throw our hands up and like, how could you accuse me of this? I'm not doing anything wrong. That kind of mentality. But then we have a double standard because we look at other people and we judge their activity and we judge their actions, and we're like, man, how are they getting away with this? Like, it's not fair. I'm trying to do the right thing and I'm the one getting in trouble. It's not fair because they're doing the wrong thing and they're not. No one's seeing that, right? And we have this like hands up in the air kind of mentality, and we do that with God too sometimes. But this chapter 73 deals with that, but also it kind of deals with. So on one hand, maybe you're like, you get accused of something and you think like, it's not me. But then at the same time, we can look at other people and we can think, how are they getting away with these things? Right? Like it could be lost people, and we could look at them and say, man, they're doing all these things wrong. They talk with bad language. I know the things that they're looking at on their phone, the ways that they're treating other people, the actions that they're doing. I know behind their back they're talking about so-and-so and this person over here. I know that they don't listen when the teacher tells them something. You know, like, we can identify all these things that they're doing, and we can look at it and sometimes just feel like a little bit envious, maybe a little bit angry. Like, we're envious because we're like, you know, I mean, part of me wants to do what they're doing, and it seems like they're totally getting away with it. They don't get in trouble. I do one wrong thing and I get in trouble, but they get to do whatever they want and they get away with it. And so why is God not judging them? Why are they not getting in trouble? I know if I did those things, then my conscience would be like eating me up. Like, I wouldn't be able to do those things and like get away with it even in my own mind. Like, it can be envious to be able to look at people and think, man, they're getting away with so much. It's unfair. And that we can look at the lost world that way. But we can also look at Christians. And maybe you guys know people that have been or are in this class, or people that you're familiar with if you go to like a Christian school or you know other Christians outside of this church, and you're like, I know that they're saved. They've said that they're saved. Or maybe I saw them get baptized. I know that they were walking with God at one point, but like now they've turned their back on God, and like it seems like they're like getting away with it. They're living this life of sin, or they're living this life outside of church that is against what they act like when they're at church. And how is that fair? Like, how is God letting all this stuff get away? And so we can look at other people and think that it's unfair, and we can have this kind of envious or angry emotion in ourselves, like, man, I wish I could get away with some of that stuff. Like, some of the things that the world has to offer, I wish I could do that and then also not have to pay the consequences. That person's doing it, and they're not paying the consequences. And so I was going to read this whole chapter, but we don't probably have enough time to read the whole thing. So I'll read some of it. Look at verse 1 of chapter 73. It says, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the posterity of the wicked. For there were no bands in their death, but their strength is firm." And so he's saying, like, you know, I'm trying to live my life with a clean heart. But my life was kind of falling apart. He says in verse 2 that my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He's like, I couldn't hardly get my feet underneath me. Everything was seeming to go wrong. And then I was envious at the foolish. Well, you don't want to be envious of people who are foolish. But when they're getting away with things, it's like part of you is like, man, I wish I could get away with that. I wish I could live my life that way and not be dealing with all the things that I'm going through. Verse 5, they are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They could have more than heart could wish. Okay, they have more than heart could wish. Like, they get everything they want, and it seems like nothing bad is happening to them. But if you skip down, look at verse 14. "For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me." Here's the key part, verse 17. "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant I was, as the beast before thee, as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is my strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." And so this is an Old Testament chapter, an Old Testament message, but in the New Testament, what do we know about following the Lord? Is it easy or is it difficult? Huh? Difficult? You guys agree that it's difficult, or is it easy? Only Phil thinks it's difficult. It's difficult to serve the Lord. It is difficult to... Huh? I mean, I'm looking at all five of you right here, and no one's saying anything.
I said so.
Okay, well anyways. It's difficult to do that. It's difficult to give up what we want, especially when we look around us and all we see is, especially in America in 2025, it's this chapter. It's like everybody has everything. You look on social media or you watch movies or you whatever you consume, whatever media you consume, you see everybody seems to have everything. And so it's like, man, why am I serving the Lord? I'm not getting anything like this. I don't have all these cool things. I don't have all the things that everybody else has. And they seems like their life is great. And sometimes my life's not so great. But the problem is we only see the highlights of those things. We only see what people want to show us. That's not really what it's like. A lot of those people are empty. A lot of those people don't have the things that they pretend to have. You know, they're renting things or they're buying things that they can't afford to impress you and other people that are watching their content. But the whole point of this chapter is saying in verse 17, when he goes up into the sanctuary of God, then he understands their end. Then he realizes it's not really about what happens here. And I mean, we look at this life as like it's everything. And I mean, in a way that it is. But I mean, in the scope of eternity, even in the scope of 1,000 years, think about 1,000 year time period. And your life is like 50, 60, 70, maybe 100 years at best, right? It's such a small percentage of time. And so this life, even if it's the most horrible life, which in America in 2025, you are not living a horrible life. You have more than 99% of the rest of the world. But we still look at it as like, okay, it can be really horrible. It can be really tough. And we're going to talk about some of those things when we do that, the next series. And we'll talk about like how we actually do struggle with some things. But in the scope of time, even if your life is the most miserable life ever, it only lasts so long. It only lasts 100 years or less. You know, like, it's not really that long. And he tells us, he goes into the sanctuary of God and he understands the end. The end of all of the things that the world has to offer is vanity. There's nothing there. There's no substance there. Even if the people that you were seeing are living a life and it's actually really like what they pretend that it is, they get that for a brief period of time, you know, 100 years at most, that they get that kind of life. But the end is hell. If they're lost, the end is hell. And so, like, it can be really enticing from a fleshly side of things to want what other people have, especially when it seems like they're just getting away with everything. And we can't get away with those same things because we're Christians and we want to serve the Lord. And it can be difficult. It can be difficult to give up your weekend to do things like come to church and get up early on Sunday mornings when most of your friends are sleeping in, right? It can be difficult to do some of the, even those little things. But this chapter is telling us, like, it's not about what we're facing or what we're encountering on this earth. The end of that lifestyle is emptiness. There's no substance to it. The end of our life, even if it is kind of miserable at times, even if it isn't exactly what we want it to be, even if everything's not perfect, the end of it is we have rewards in heaven for the time, for the things that we do, for the ways that we serve the Lord. There's eternal rewards for that. It's not empty. There is substance to it. We do get something from it. And that's not the only reason we should serve the Lord, but we should look forward to those things, right? If we don't get it now, but we get rewarded later, that's great. That's something we should strive for. And even in the rest of that passage, when he's laying it all out and he's realizing, you know, there is nothing of substance with a lifestyle that does not include God. And so even if you're saved, your lifestyle could be separate from God, and you're not going to lose your salvation or anything like that. But if you fall away from the things of God, those rewards go away. And at the end of it, you're going to look back and think, man, there was nothing of substance there. It felt good at the time. The things that the world has to offer feel good for a moment or for a period of time, but they don't last forever. In the end, it says how they are brought into desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. Like, again, not losing our salvation, but if we turn away from God, we're gonna regret that decision. Like, we're going to feel like we've wasted time, even if we come back to him later on. And so this passage in Malachi where Malachi is trying to encourage them to, you know, get back on track, cross-reference with this chapter in Psalm 73 and so many other places in the New Testament. We were talking about Paul, like in Romans, where he's dealing with, like, I want to do these things, but I know I'm supposed to do these things. And fast forward to each of our lives. All of us can probably think of ways that we wish we were more like, we know we need to do this thing, but in reality, it's like, well, but I really want to do these things over here. I don't really want to do this thing, even though I know it's the right thing to do. And I mean, I'm the leader of this group, and I struggle with that all the time, like every single day. And sometimes I win, and sometimes I don't. Like, I'm not always perfect at it, but, you know, that is the life of a Christian. It is that idea of, like, if you can look beyond, like, the short term, and you can look a little bit further in the future and see that there are rewards. There is something of benefit and of substance to sacrificing now so that you can get the reward later. If you can look beyond the current, just a little bit down the road and see there is something of value if we can do that. All right, we're 3 minutes over time. That went a little bit differently than I was expecting. But anyways, let's pray, and then we'll be done. Does anybody have any questions? What are you laughing about? Oh, okay.